Our scripture today is from the book of Acts. Open my big Bible here. Do it. Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Before I start reading this, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your glorious love and for the way that you're with us through your word, the way that you speak to us. We ask you that our hearts and minds are open, that we may receive your word and all that you are. And anything not of you, we ask you is forgotten. But those things of you, we pray that we are challenged and encouraged as you desire for us in our lives. We thank you, dear Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our scripture is Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Hear now God's word. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word." This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. Number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I've mentioned this before about some of the sayings that we live by and help inform us in polite society. So if you've been invited to have dinner at someone's house and you're having polite dinner conversation, there are two topics, of course, that you cannot talk about. We've mentioned this before lots of times. And those two topics are politics and religion. Two things that you should not talk about. And the reason you should not talk about them is everybody has their own opinion about it. Nobody agrees, and if you disagree on it, usually it is frightfully so. Passionate. People are passionate about these two topics and hold very tightly to their own opinions. And if you're of differing opinions, then you differ very passionately, oftentimes, not all the time. And not for everyone, of course. I speak in generalities. But a warning today, we are not going to have polite dinner conversation. We will be talking about both religion and politics. Our sermon topic for today was asked by someone, what does the Bible say about politics? And so we're gonna look at what the Bible says about politics. and I want to start by saying, one, I love all of you. And I may say some things that you disagree with. And if there's something I say that you disagree with, or makes you uncomfortable, or makes you feel a little leery about my mental faculties, pause for a moment and ask yourself why. Why does this bother you? And as you pray for that and work through that and come up with an answer, then I ask that you talk to me about it. And that we talk. And we will talk. I won't yell at you or become defensive. I want to listen and I want to hear. And that doesn't go just for this sermon, but every sermon or anything that I ever say in the course of our time and communication together. I always invite and encourage dialoguing. So, that being said, when we get into talking about politics, we need to come up with a working definition of what it is that we're talking about. And so looking online, I found a few definitions of politics. And so I'll share a few of these with you. Politics, the art or science of government. The art or science concerned with guiding or influencing governmental policy. The art or science concerned with winning and holding control over a government. Political actions, practices, or policies. Political affairs or businesses, especially competition between competing interest groups or individuals for power and leadership. Political life, especially as a principal activity or profession. Political activities characterized by artful and often dishonest practices. The political opinions or sympathies of a person. The total complex of relations between people living in a society. And I got about 10 more definitions. But as I don't want you to fall asleep right now, we're going to come up with our own working definition of politics. Many definitions of politics that I've read and that I shared with you and that I've read on my own has something to do with power. Because politics has a lot to do with power. And I think a lot of us can agree with that. And so the working definition for our discussion today that I would like us to go with is it's the system. Now, of course, this isn't a perfect definition, but I think it works for our purposes. It's the system of, I got to get this right here. The system of soliciting, of giving and receiving, and of distribution of power. So politics, again, repeat that, is the system of soliciting power, of the giving and receiving of power, and of the distribution of power. Now, as an example, the soliciting of power we get through our political system of election. A bunch of people who feel like that they want to be in the political arena and to be in charge of government positions or whatever the case is, they run and they solicit you and me for our power. And through the process of election, we give our power to them, whoever it might be. Because each of us in our governmental system that we have set up has power, and it's the power to give others our power. Now, we have political parties, all different kinds of political parties. There's the Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Independents, and the list can go on and on and on based upon why we would give our power to, who is the kind of person that we would like to give our power to? What are the ideals that we'd like to give that power to? And the last part of that for the giving and receiving of the power after that is then the distribution of power. Because the political arena, those whom we have voted in, then take the power that we have given them and give that power out to those whom they serve. If it's the president, then that power is given to the United States, is used for the benefit of the United States. If it's a mayor, then that power is used and given to for the benefit of that particular town that they're in. Now, our scripture that we use today, I think, is a good example of how the Bible talks about politics, because the Bible does. beautiful thing about the Bible is that it talks about almost every area of life, or has something to say about every area of life, one way or another. Politics is no different. This, in my opinion, is the second political act that we have of the new church. The first political act of the new church is in choosing a replacement for Judas. They had a stipulation for who would replace Judas. There were a bunch of men. They was narrowed down to two, and then they voted. But they voted through prayer and drawing of straws. This particular political act, what had happened is that there were widows, Hellenistic widows, who weren't being taken care of at least this is how they felt, that the Hellenistic widows weren't being taken care of, but the Hebraic widows were being taken care of. And they felt that this wasn't fair. And so they approached the authoritative party, which was the 12 apostles, with this issue. The 12 apostles said, we don't have time to deal with this. We have other things that we want to devote our time to. So they created a committee, and they then held the elections for people to be on that committee. Seven people were chosen, and they listed who those seven people were. The higher committee had the power to organize this stuff. They then took some of their power and gave it to this committee. And then that committee, using the power that they've received from the people in being chosen, then used their power in order to provide food for, hopefully, all of the widows, equally, as best as possible. What we see in this particular political structure is where the power goes. There was an issue that arose, and then the disciples, with their power, the apostles passed it down, and then the power ended up with the widows who were taken care of and provided for. This, I think, is a wonderful example of political process being used well. Because oftentimes when we think of politics, we ask ourselves, is politics good or is politics bad? Is it? Is politics good or bad? It's neither. Honestly, I think politics is a tool like anything else. We have a nation that needs run in an orderly way. And politics is the way in which we run that nation in an orderly way. But like anything that is neutral in and of itself, it can be used for either good purposes or bad purposes. And oftentimes when we think of the political arena, we think and we lean towards the idea of politics being bad, because what we see is the political arena being abused quite often. There's another saying in our culture, and it's about power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we see that those who have power sometimes can't handle that power. And so what happens to our political system is that it becomes cyclical. We vote somebody in, give them the power to do what it is that, you know, we might want them to do based upon our political affiliations, our party affiliations, our ideals of what we think is good and what we think is bad and what we think should be done and shouldn't be done. They get into office and feel that power to change, that power to be able to help or to be able to hurt. Sometimes it's hard to deal with that power, and so they use that power in order to gain more power. Have you ever heard of someone making a decision in the political arena and someone say that that decision was politically motivated? You know what that phrase means? Do you know what people mean by that phrase, that decision was politically motivated? If we were to say that that decision was motivated out of the kindness of their heart, we would mean the opposite of that, that decision was politically motivated. Oftentimes what we mean by that decision was politically motivated is that they made that decision in such a way to maintain their own power. They helped this group of people because they knew that that group of people would be able to help them. And so politics at its worst becomes cyclical. How do I maintain the power that I have and use that power in order to maintain the power that I have? Politics and the system of power becomes an end of itself. The Bible shows us that many things in this world, that God has provided them for us, not that they become an end in themselves, but that they become a means in order to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. That we are given these tools by God in order to love God with them. Politics included in that. The thing about this is that all of the different political parties that we have, it shows an honest truth about our world. We're not going to agree on everything. But I guarantee you that you will find good Christian people in every single political party. And that I believe that you can be a Christian, whatever political party that you are, that you are a part of, by using the power that is given to you through politics in order to glorify God, in order to serve God. Not to hold on to the power yourself, but to give the power away, that God's name may be praised, that God's love and God's agenda might be given to those around us. And sometimes that means giving that power away, that others might be blessed and be strengthened to do what's necessary. When I think about our political system and how the system of power is being used in our nation, I think a good guide is the wisdom that is given to us by God that James talks about in James chapter 3. And he has all of these lists of things on how to identify wisdom. And one of them is the willingness to yield. Sometimes the wisest thing that we can do is to yield the power that we have. And that's against what we know of our American politics. Or at least, if not against, at least not represented very often. I pray. Before I get into the praying part. We've been talking about politics as kind of a governmental thing. But the question I have is there politics in the church? And there is. Strong politics in the church. Because the church has lots of power, and that power given to it by God. And so the church has a system of usage of that power. And how are we going to use that power? And the truth is that over the years, the church hasn't always used that power in order to glorify God. Church has sometimes used that power in order to glorify individuals, or even itself apart from God. Politics has become a necessary way in which, or if not necessary, then extremely used way of governing ourselves in this world. There was one time in the Bible that I can point to when politics entered into Israel. Samuel was prophet at the time. This is in the book of 1 Samuel. He was prophet at the time and judge of all Israel. And Israel was clamoring for a king. We want a king, we want a king, we want a king. And Samuel says, your king is God. And they said, it's not good enough for us. We want a king, like all the other nations have a king. When you have a king, what you're able to do is keep the power for yourselves, and then because the king has that power. Harder sometimes to trust in God, those him who we cannot see. We can trust more one whom we can. Samuel went to God and said, Lord, I have failed. They have rejected me. And God's response was, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. I pray that within the midst of our politics, however it is that we find ourselves having power, and believe me when I say that all of us sitting here has power of some sort. I pray that when we do find a way or an opportunity to use that power, that we do so in a way that honors God and pleases God, even if it means giving up our power. Because sharing the love of God is what this church is here for. Sharing the truth of Jesus is why we exist. So I pray that we continue to pray for our political system that we find ourselves in the church and in our nation. That above all, even if it means going ways that we wouldn't normally go, that we're able to honor God and that God's name is praised and leaned upon at all times, no matter what's happening in our nation. And I thank God for that opportunity. I leave you with this benediction. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.